The Gospel by Mark chapter 14. And we'll commence to read at verse 1. Mark 14 and verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests of the scribes sought how they might take him by craft, and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, I would try your patience and ask you to read with me in the 9th chapter of Acts. The 9th chapter of Acts, please. And we'll read from verse 36. Acts 9 and verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. May the Lord bless the public reading of his precious word. I am sure that you have concluded that I may have upon my heart a message for the sisters in the meeting. Well, I do not normally address particular parties in a meeting, but I'm sure that you will bear with me tonight, and I'm sure that all will take every part of the message to their own particular heart. But I have upon my heart tonight particularly to speak to our sisters in the meeting. Now, I have good authority for that, for in most of the epistles you will find that women are addressed. For instance, the apostle has some very pointed and pertinent things to say to his sisters. And we remember that Peter had some more pertinent things to say to his sisters. And we remember that John thought so much about his sister that he wrote an epistle towards her herself. But tonight I am here that I might, in some measure, and I pray at the end of the meeting, that what I have to say would be a message of deep encouragement for your soul, that you might find the niche in life that God has called you to. Now, I don't want you to sit afraid. I've not come to scold you, and I've not come to lament about your lack of spirituality. I've not come to do that. I've come that I might encourage you, because I believe that you do play a very important part in the economy of God, and more so in the present day in which we live. I know that I am sure when I say this, that the life of a normal woman in Israel was a very dull and a very drab existence. Men's thoughts about women in the Old and New Testament only need you to take time to look into it, that women were understood to be an inferior personality. There is no doubt that the man, where God is concerned, is the head. There is no doubt where God's word is concerned that the woman is under the man. But in the New Testament scriptures you'll discover that the man and woman are brought into equality where spiritual things and the Lord is concerned. And tonight I want to draw your attention to two women in the time that's at my disposal who did the opposite things, and yet they did the right thing. I want you to show you that what Mary did was right, and yet what Dorcas did was right, and yet they both did opposite things from each other. You see, brethren, and you see, sisters, we are not all called to do the same thing. One of the big difficulties at Corinth was this: not only that they did not recognize the head, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but they did not recognize the body. They did not recognize the head in Christ. But secondly, they did not recognize the members in chapter 12. All the body is not a tongue, an ear, a foot, a limb. No, there are variety of expressions of our love, even unto Christ. You know, in the humdrum life of the Israelitish woman, when she was a maid, she longed to be a mother. And then when she became a mother, her ambitions began to grow for her children. See, someone, how do you know that? Well, you remember that Zebedee's children, you remember they had a mother, and her great desire was for the fatherings of her children. She wasn't wrong. You know, there's something within parents, and they want to see the children progressed. Let me halt upon my foot and say, I hope the big ambition of your life is not to see your children progress in commercial matters, or even educational matters, and that is important. We don't want our boys and girls to be sweeping the streets if they've got an IQ that's above that. Please, let me be clear about that. But I do pray that we've not only got an interest in their precious souls, I pray that we've got a deep interest in their deeper spiritual development in the things of God. I often hear the people praying for the souls of their children. I love to hear a man saying, Lord, save my boy and save my girl, but take them for yourself and make them to go further with the gospel than ever I have ever been able to do. Not only just have that selfish thing, which is possibly scriptural, but have an objective. These dear women that lived in the Israelites' day, and I hope I'm going to come round to this quickly. The women in this meeting, I hope you have a spiritual objective. I mean when the chores are done. And I mean when the things that are legitimate are all done. I really pray before God that you have a spiritual objective. It is not easy for a woman to be spiritual. There are certain traditions and conventions
that she must definitely and positively break through before she can ever really find the deep objectives of her life. And that's why I read Mark chapter 14. The background of chapter 14 of Matthew is simply this. The craft of the religious men. The cost of the ointment of the dear lady. And the criticism of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I want you to think of what happened to the Lord Jesus in the day that men were plotting his murder. Oh, the plottings of men. Oh, the murderous schemes of human beings. And oh, the supercilious religion of them. They didn't want to do it on the feast day, lest there would be an uproar. Not that they feast day, not that they cared for observances. The big ambition of their soul was to kill the beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the background that men were plotting against his life, in the background that men were scheming to take his life from the earth, in the background of the fulfillment of Jeremiah's words, when they said of Jeremiah, as was said of Jesus, when shall this man die and his name perish from off the earth? And in the background of that, the Lord Jesus had an invitation. It is called Simon the Leper. He may be Simon the Pharisee. I don't know. But this I do want you to know, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he accepted the leper of the Pharisee's invitation. You know, there are you and I, and we are very careful as to our social life. And if we are not, I pray that we might be. But you know, brethren, I'm rather anxious that the separation that we believe in has certainly taken us from the football field, and has taken us from the public house, and has delivered us from all the other things that we wouldn't take time to mention. But I want to say something. The Lord Jesus Christ went into Simon the leper's house. You know, brethren, I know that the standard of our Christianity has become so low that we're afraid to be tripped up in the presence of the world. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ went into Simon's invitation. I don't know Simon's motives. I don't know what was behind his mind. That's not recorded. But this I do know, the Lord took up Simon's invitation. And when he was in there was something happened that was to be recorded. And every time Mark's gospel was to be preached or read publicly, it would be known of what happened in Simon the Pharisee's house. And as he's sitting in Simon the Pharisee's house, there came in this woman. I know some like to think that it was a woman of the street. Others, with them, I would possibly align myself with them. Others would rather have it to be Mary of Bethany in this instance. Now, if it be Mary of Bethany, and I trust you'll love me and forgive me for my interpretation, I pray that you might think of what it cost her to come into Simon the leper's house. And if it be Simon the Pharisee, the cost to that woman to come into that house. You know, it wouldn't be conventional to do it. And she never, ever would have been invited to do it. And she never, ever would ever have got a vestige of encouragement to do it. But she had something in her heart. And she had something in her hand. And she felt impelled, deep propelled, to do things that were not conventional, that were not ordinary, that would cause her to be talked about, that would cause her to be spoken about, that would cause her shame and reproach, possibly all the days of her life. But you see, this woman had an objective. The objective of her life was this, that she might bring the most precious of all things that she could obtain. She longed that she might anoint the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, if you want to get the name that Mary got, if you want to get the fame that Mary got, dear sister, it will only be got in the measure in which you're really after the Lord Jesus Christ. There were other men in that room. Lovely, stalwart disciples. Her eye was not on other men. Her heart was not set on other men. Isn't that what Boaz loved about Ruth? Thou followest not after young men, whether they be rich or poor. She had a box, and in that box was the precious ointment. In that box it was so costly. She longed to get through the mass of the people, through the door, through convention, beyond everyone, and anoint the precious head of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear fellow Christian, had she went to her brothers, if it be Mary, they would have said, "Mary, I think your exercise is good. I think that it is wholesome." They would say, "Mary, I would never judge your motive, but Mary, just leave it till he visits us again. Wait till we're just ourselves. Wait till it's not so public. Mary, do you know what the people will say? Just put it off for this time." If she had went to the Pharisees and said, "I'm going to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ with the most precious of all my possessions. I'm going to anoint his head." If her brother and sister would have put her off, the Pharisees would have put her out. It says that for naming the name of Christ, they put them out of the synagogue.
No encouragement at home.
Is there dear women in this meeting? I know them by the hundreds as I travel this great land of ours. There are many women that get no encouragement. Let me say as equally, there are many, many men that don't get encouragement. I want to say this, that I believe behind every good man there's some good woman. And the sacred secret of your happiness as a man and wife is that you learn to encourage each other in the things of the Lord. Never you be shouting when your man is at his Bible. Never let the children knock at the door if it can be helped when he's praying on his knees. But poor Mary, she got no encouragement.
No encouragement at home. No encouragement from the Pharisees. And what about the disciples? Surely they understand. Surely this is what they would do. Surely if they had it, they would give it. Surely if the moment came, they would pour it upon him.
No understanding either from the disciples.
No deep spiritual understanding among Peter, James, and John as to the act of the woman.
Did I come near to you, my dear sister? To get near to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ is a very costly business. And I'm not talking about what you bring. I'm even talking about trying to get there. Trying to get there.
Trying to get near to him.
It's a very, very costly business. I find that people don't like to hear that you're praying too much. Have you ever felt the dreadful embarrassment when you start to discuss holy things with people? Talk to them about salvation. You have a ground there. Try to further the conversation about holy things and about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great gap comes in. My friends, Mary found it no easy task to get near unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sad thing that in Mark chapter 14, the person who wanted to do the most was the least thought of. It is sad that the person who wanted to give the most was the least thought of. The person that wanted to do the greatest act that has ever been done in the Gospels by any woman, she's the least appreciated. I tell you this, that if you want to be spiritually minded and holy, please don't look for encouragement from your family. If they're there, bless the Lord and thank him for them. don't always look for encouragement from those who seem to be the leaders amongst the people of God. And certainly don't be in deep despair if the disciples don't understand all that you're doing. But I want to encourage you today. Get to Christ. Get to Christ. Irrespective of the cost, irrespective of the feelings, irrespective of the indignation, irrespective of the criticism, I tell you this, that after Mary had done it and went to bed and put her head on the pillow, it would have been the happiest night in all her life's experience. The night that she was maligned. The night that she was misrepresented. The night that the disciples thought that she was just a forward woman. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the true value of what was done. My dear sister, you may not be asked, as you are not, in public testimony. There's one thing I tell you, the Lord appreciates your love. The Lord Jesus deeply appreciates devotion to Him. And He appreciates devotion when it's at you, your and my personal cost. I wonder, lass, when you anointed His head. I wonder if this week that you're on holiday, I wonder if you've even taken the opportunity with the many extra hours that you have to get nearer to Christ. Now I know there's a lot of busy men here. Because every time I meet them, they always tell me they're busy anyway. But you know, there's nobody in this hall who was as busy as Daniel. Not even Mr. Faulkner, nor Mr. Whitelaw, nor Mr. Heath. The British kingdom was only a kindergarten to the land of Babylon. And that man found time to get on his knees before God and seek the face of God until there came a record out of heaven. Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved. And I don't know all the records of heaven, but I know this! But in the pages of Holy Scripture and in the annals of divine eternal record, I believe that Mary will be classed with Daniel as being greatly beloved. She gave it. You know, they tell me, I don't know, but we do read a little bit. They tell me that this box of spikenard was what a lady kept to anoint the bridegroom of her life. It was the ointment that the lady kept for the bridegroom of her life. And Mary had such an estimation of the Lord Jesus. She says, let human beings pass forever.
I found the man of my life. And not the half of it, but all of it, and all poured upon his blessed head.
Oh, dear Christian, I know in this hall you dear ladies would love to be more spiritual than you are. I know that because I long for that every hour of the day. Everyone that's saved longs to be better. I want to tell you something. Your deep joys and happinesses are all wrapped up in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. And you know, Mary invested in God. Or could I change it? Mary invested all her savings in Christ. All her savings in Christ. Well, I repeat that. She invested all her savings in Christ. You would love to be a spiritual woman, wouldn't you? And a spiritual man. Invest in Christ. Invest in Christ.
She didn't know she was going to get this appellation. She did not know she was going to get this fame.
You know, people who are spiritual are not ever really looking for fame at all. But she's made famous until the end of the generation and throughout all eternity. Because she learned to pour out all that she ever had upon the holy head of the beloved Lord Jesus Christ. I must press on. One point before I go on to Acts chapter 9. I hope that we're not all so busy. I know we're not so busy as we used to be. Sometimes I feel that the terrible conditions in which you live are a very serious drawback to the work of the Lord. But I do pray, brethren, knowing my own heart, I do pray that we don't make it just another excuse for not doing the work of the Lord. You know, we really don't need any more excuses than what we have already. But here is one place that is still open to us. Here is still a sphere in which we can still shine. This sphere is not shut up. Nobody's interfering with this sphere. It's to daily, weekly, momentarily pour our all upon the lovely head of the Lord Jesus. Everyone would have told her, put it off. Wait till another time. But she came in at the right time, and she did the right thing. I read the book of Acts to you to show you another type of woman. You know, the book of the Acts is normally in a preacher's mind. All the preachers that are here, they would say Acts chapter 9. Well, that's Saul's conversion. Well, that is right, but that's only a part of the chapter. You know, in Acts chapter 9, the Spirit of God speaks well of Peter. And in Acts chapter 9, there's a man I've never heard him preached on. You could maybe have a good preach some night on him. His name is Aeneas. Now, you might think that I'm very clever at being able to say that well, but you know, I tried to practice before I came. Aeneas. And he is a man that was lying in his bed, and he was lifted up, and he got God's great salvation, the man called Aeneas. But you would think that in the chapter where Paul got salvation, and we've all preached it of, who would have thought that the Spirit of God would have ranked in importance in the same passage? The life of a woman called Tabitha, better known to us all as Dorcas, as Dorcas. You know, Dorcas and Mary, I'm sure they could have sat together in the parlour and they could have enjoyed things, but they would never have agreed. You know why? Because all that Mary thought about was the Lord. And thank God for every Mary. And you know when Dorcas would start to speak about the poor down the back streets of Joppa, Mary would always get it back to the Lord. And then Mary would speak about the Lord, and then Dorcas would come back again, you see. And she would say to all of those poor people that I know. And tonight I want to speak about Dorcas. I'm sure you know that Dorcas' name means beautiful. That's lovely, isn't it? If you're wanting a name for some new daughter that's coming, don't give it some of these film star names. If there's one thing after another I can't stand amongst us, is these film star names we give to the children. Certainly, we've not to call them Zacharias and all these things, but I think that lovely names from the Bible are most endearing and sweet. Dorcas, beautiful. Let me tell you, she was beautiful in her name, and she was beautiful in her character, and she was beautiful in her life, and she was just as beautiful down the back streets of Joppa. And it didn't matter to her whether she had on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday clothes. That didn't matter to the people of Joppa. Now, I do believe with what was said, I don't know if the brother is here still or not. Hey, Mr. Martin, God bless him. I do believe that we should be tidy and all that type of thing. I concur with all that. But I want to say something to you tonight, just a little, about Dorcas. Her name. Isn't it marvelous? And I judge this to be so. That Dorcas was known in the church. See, someone, that's obvious, because I'm sure her name was on the register. She was known in the church for not just her name in the register. I'll prove that to you later on.
But she was known not only as one that sat on the benches of the assembly at Joppa. She was known down all the back streets and the alleys and the hovels of the poor in Joppa. I often feel that our sisters take this kindly. I mean it with all my heart. I feel that you've missed out. I really feel that one of the strongest assets of the Church of God is completely and totally immobilized. Because the women have not yet grasped what God intends them to do. Now this job that this woman got or had, I know you're going to say, I'm not cut out for it. You know, my friend, I'm not really cut out for knocking doors. But I've knocked thousands of them. Thousands of them. Thousands of them. I'm not cut out oftentimes. When I was a boy, I could hardly ask for a tuppenny ticket in the tram. I wasn't cut out for standing here. And I know that you're saying you're not cut out for this. But I'm going to tell you, it's amazing what you can do with God. And it's better still amazing what God can do with you. Now, I know this is all elementary, but I pray before I sit down, it will be effective. I was wondering if I could take you on a visit. In a visit, there's many of the Christian goes a tour. But I would like to take you on a visit to Joppa. If you were in Joppa and you saw the boys and the girls all playing, and there's a lady coming down the street, and you know how children just give you a little side glance, they're so busy playing anyway. But when this woman came down the street, the children would say, Dorcas is coming. Dorcas is coming. What would that mean? Would it mean a straight-laced, stern old lady? What did the children mean when they said to each other, Dorcas is coming? It meant something in the poor people's homes. It meant something spiritual and something tangible and positive. Let me go further. If you went into a home in Joppa, and the child came in, and he looked on the table or whatever was in the hovel, the mother would look at the child and look at the garment and say, Dorcas has been. Dorcas has been. Dorcas has been. And when they went out to play with each other in the little coats and the garments, they would say, Dorcas has been here. Dorcas has been here. You know why? The most of the people would all be in the same footing. You know what I believe? I believe the normal Christian in Ireland and in Scotland is as much well off as Arimathea would have been. We don't understand the poverty of the ideas, or the squalor, or the need. Thank God, Dorcas is here. Dorcas has come. But if you go down, you'll find there came days in Joppa when that figure wasn't seen in the street. And I'm sure there'd be talk again in the street of Joppa, and they would say, Dorcas is missing. Dorcas is missing. They wouldn't miss the rent man. They wouldn't miss any other kind of man. But I'm sure that they would miss Dorcas coming. What's wrong with Dorcas? The word goes through the town again. Dorcas is sick. Dorcas is sick. Dorcas is sick. I believe the impact on that little town was more than it would have been if the Lord Mayor had died. Why was that? Because the woman had made indelible impressions upon the people's hearts. Let me go further. There came word to the church and to the streets that Dorcas was dead. My wife phoned me the other day,
She told me that a man had died. A man that I knew well. A man that I slept with. A man that I preached with. A man whose death was very sad. But I'll tell you, my friend, the death of Dorcas down those back streets was the most effective thing. So effective that the Spirit of God has laid it upon divine holy record.
The impact upon this place that a woman, a sister, and one of the weaker vessels
had died in the town of Joppa. I'm desperate to get to the application, but let us just go further a little bit. In Dorcas's life, she filled a need. I should change that. In Dorcas's life, she saw a need. She saw a need. Now, there is not one sister in the meeting, and there's not a brother. I care not how you may scowl at me after this. There is not a man or a woman, but that doesn't see the need all around. And I'm not caring any more about national assistance, or is it Social Security? I don't know the names. Has been changed that often? I know all that, brethren. But didn't we read in Mark chapter 14, the poor you have always left you. I'm not on for a social service in the assembly. I'm opposed to that. But I know, my friend, that there is need all around. Need all around. Not just financial need. That's not what I'm basically getting at. I'm not really getting at that. That wasn't in my mind. Yes, there's need, brethren. She saw a need. She filled a niche. And she did it all with a little needle. A little needle. You know, I have discovered that it's all right being kind when you get plenty. It's easy tithing your money when you've £100 a week. Not just so easy when you've got 10. But there's something deeper than that in this passage. It not only cost this woman to buy the stuff, it cost her long hours of weary toil to form it and to make it and to complete it. Such is the deep impression that has been caused. The Spirit of God lifts it up. For my instruction and for yours. Is the message going in upon your soul? I want to tell you that to God, Dorcas was just as precious as even Mary was. Let me draw it a wee bit closer because I feel I would like to leave time for someone else. Just as Mary had a problem, so had Dorcas. Dorcas might have sat down and said, "These people are poor. Have they got any relatives? These people are poor. I think I'll speak to the elders about it. These people are poor. I think I'll speak to my rich friends about them." No. Dorcas didn't sit down and plan and devise and send little cabs of "the Lord bless you and keep you." Never did that. She never went and consulted a living soul. She never went to the elders. She never went to the other sisters. She never went to one family relation. She saw the need. She got down on her knees. She got working with her hands. She got her bag out and away down through the streets. She didn't need information coming in to the need. She knew the need. She saw the need and she met the need. I'm all for united assembly effort in everything of church life. But I want to tell you something else. I'm a great believer in individual effort. When we were at home there in the strikes, the miners, and I wouldn't like to speak so disparaging of the miners, we took our living for a long time out of the mines. But you know, among the miners, there were pickets. Now, if you want to look for a definition of a picket, it's a man that's not working and is out to see that nobody else works. I want to point that out to you. I hope that there's no elders in this meeting that thwart the purposes of the gospel in younger people. Now, I know it has to be channeled. And I know that it has to be guarded. I understand all that, having come that way. But I hope because you're not doing anything, that you would pick it and see that nobody else does anything.
Dorcas, why did you not take someone with you?
Well, you see, she'd have been letting people know what she was doing. She had a real deep exercise of her own to do something for God in the locality. What am I saying then? I'm saying that Mary had an objective in her life. I'm saying that Dorcas had equally an objective in her life. I'm asking you tonight, have you an objective in your life? Have you a goal?
Says the Lord to the churches, I know thy works. I know thy employment. I know where you work. I know where you draw your token. I know what you're at.
That's the idea.
I know.
Could the Lord from heaven look down tonight and say, dear brother from Ormond, Castlereagh, all the halls that are here, could the Lord look down and say, I know thy works. I know they can be found not perfect before God, but isn't it wonderful we can look down and see some hearts that get on with the job irrespective of what others might do. Dorcas died. Did you ever notice in this passage, there's not one word about the correspondent of the Joppa meeting. Not one word about the elders. I'm sure they would all be there. For the Spirit of God highlights one person that's prepared to do the thing that nobody else wants to do. The graft, the work, in amongst the squalor, down amongst the poor. My brethren, my sisters, I tell you this. We've missed the mark.
That, to me, is the connection between the assembly and the world that would fill every seat in every gospel hall.
If only there were a few Dorcases in the church. Now, I know that that will be as equally taken as men. Dorcas is dead. The send for the preacher. Isn't that nice? The send for the preacher. And what does the preacher see when he comes? You know, preachers are very observant people. The preacher saw two people united together. He saw saints and sinners united in grief about the death of Dorcas.
You never often get saints and sinners united, do you? Well, when the apostle came, standing at the door of Dorcas' house, the Christians and the ungodly were united together
in grief about the departure of the dear godly Dorcas. You know, brethren, the world has got its values too. When I was in the world, I knew what a Christian was. Tell you that for nothing. I knew what a godly man was, and I knew what a sham was too. You know, the men of Gideon. Gideon says to those kings, remember the kings he asked his boy to destroy. He says, what like were the men that you slew at Tabor? He says, as thou art, so were they every man that the son of a king.
They didn't know the relationship, but they knew what likeness was. They didn't know the blood relationship, but they knew the future were the same as his.
Men and women don't know how I'm united to Christ, but they know when I am like Christ. Notice Peter does what his Lord does. It says he put them forth, but it says of the Lord put them out. But it says that Peter put them forth. The Lord put them out because there was skepticism and unbelief amongst them. But it says Peter put them forth. The word is he led them out by the hand. Peter is gentle and courteous with people. Do you know why? Because Peter hadn't the same feelings towards Dorcas that these people had. And he put them forth. You know, it wasn't an apostle that was needed to raise Dorcas. It says that Peter fell down on his knees. You know, it's not any more preachers we're needing. We're needing men that will kneel down upon their knees. He kneeled down and he called upon the Lord and he raised Tabitha or Dorcas. Notice, he didn't say to her, now you follow me and you'll give your testimony. It says he gave her back to the widows and to the saints. Isn't it lovely what the saints did with her? They washed her. And they put her in an upper chamber. Oh, the respect that the assembly had for Dorcas. May this very simple message this Monday evening may it get through to your heart that Mary had to break with every convention that she might get and anoint the head of the Lord Jesus. And Dorcas, irrespective of what others do, what others say, or the cost, or the work of the labor, she would go on and listen to the words that the people said. These are the things that she hath done while she was yet with us.